Hey everyone, ready to dive deep. Today, we're exploring something super cool, cooperative play programs for kids. And trust me, this isn't just about letting them run wild. We're going to unpack decades of research, get this, from Professor Mate Garagordabile at the University of the Basque Country.
Yeah, her work is amazing. What's really fascinating is that she didn't just study play. She actually created four specific programs for kids aged 4 to 12. Each one tailored to their developmental stage. And get this, they all link to a fifth program designed for teenagers.
So it's kind of like a roadmap for using cooperative play to support their growth, not just through childhood, but adolescence too.
Exactly. And the research shows these programs can seriously boost things like, creativity and social skills, even intelligence.
No way. That's huge. Okay, so let's start with the youngest group, the 4 to 6-year-olds. This program, it's all about building a foundation, right?
You got it. It's about holistic development. Like, it targets intellectual skills, social skills, even physical and creative abilities.
So, how does it actually work? Can you give us an example of an activity, something that brings this whole holistic thing to life?
Okay, picture this. A group of 4-year-olds, right? They're all working together, trying to build the tallest tower they can out of these giant blocks.
I'm already intrigued.
So they have to figure out how to, share the blocks, communicate what they're thinking, and cooperate to make sure their tower doesn't, totally collapse.
Sounds like a recipe for some serious fun and some serious learning.
Exactly. They're learning to problem solve, think spatially, communicate, and cooperate, and they're having a blast doing it. It's like learning disguised as play.
I love that. Okay, so what about the 6 to 8-year-old program? What makes that one unique?
Well, with this age, one of the biggest findings was the impact it had on their social behavior, especially in the classroom. Garagordabile's research showed a decrease in disruptive behavior and way more positive interactions between, between the kids.
So cooperative play actually changed how they interacted with each other. That's pretty amazing.
It is. And here's where it gets really interesting. The program also led to improvements in their verbal comprehension and their numerical aptitude.
Hold on, wait. Are you saying playing together can actually make them better at, academics? What's the connection there?
That's a fantastic question. I think it suggests that play isn't just about having fun. It's a powerful tool for cognitive development. When kids engage in cooperative play, they're constantly using language, negotiating, and, problem solving together. And that strengthens those cognitive skills.
Wow, I never thought about it that way. Okay, moving right along to the 8 to 10-year-olds. What's the focus for this age group?
This one really zooms in on fostering two big things, altruism and creativity. It encourages kids to think outside of themselves and act in ways that are helpful and compassionate.
And did it work?
It totally did. The research showed that it seriously increased altruistic behavior, improved self-concept, and even reduced passive social behavior.
I'm sensing a theme here. Cooperative play, it's not just about having fun. It's about building essential life skills and making those positive social connections.
If you hit the nail on the head, it's about nurturing the whole child. Not just their academic side, but their emotional and social sides too.
So true. All right, let's move on to the 10 to 12-year-old program. This one sounds like it's getting pretty complex.
Yeah, so this one takes a very comprehensive approach, addressing, intellectual, social, and even emotional development.
It's combining everything from the previous programs, getting them ready for those teenage years.
Exactly. And Garagordabile's research found some amazing results. Significant improvements in intelligence, pro-social behavior, self-concept, and even emotional stability.
It's like giving them a superpower boost right before they hit those tricky teenage years. Now, remember how you mentioned that all four of these programs, they link to a fifth one that's designed for teenagers?
Yes. It's like the bridge between childhood and adolescence. This one focuses on, it focuses on human rights education.
That's a big topic for teenagers. What does that even look like in a play program?
It's all about developing empathy, reducing prejudice, and promoting assertive communication. And the results, they were seriously impressive. The program decreased prejudiced thoughts, increased empathy, reduced anxiety, improved assertive behavior, and even boosted their self-concept.
Wow, that's a lot of positive change, all coming from a program that focuses on play. It really makes you think about the power of play, to actually shape a better future.
Absolutely. It really highlights how important those early experiences are, even for later development.
Okay, I need a minute to process all of this. That was a lot of info.
Yeah, we've covered a lot, but we've really only just scratched the surface of Professor Garagorda Bill's work. There's so much more to unpack.
I'm ready for it. Let's dive deeper into the overall findings and figure out what it all means for our listeners, right?
Let's do it. So looking at all of Garagorda Bill's work, what really jumps out is, well, the consistency of her findings across all four age groups, you know, from preschool to preteen cooperative play, always showed these incredible effects. It wasn't just a one-off thing. It
wasn't just a fluke, like something that only worked with some kids. It sounds like a real, you know, solid pattern.
Exactly. And that's what makes this research so compelling. Like, it suggests there's something about cooperative play that's really fundamental, something that taps into our, I don't know, our basic human need to connect and grow.
Now, let's bring it back to our listeners for a second. Why does this matter? What are the implications here? Whether you're a parent, an educator, or just someone interested in, you know, in personal growth, there's something here for everyone.
Totally. For parents, this research it's like a wake-up call, you know? It reminds us that play isn't just kids messing around. It's actually crucial for healthy development.
So put down the flashcards, step away from the screens, and let the kids play. But it's not just about free play, right? We have to be intentional about it. Create those opportunities for, you know, for structured cooperative play, like in Garagorda Bill's programs.
That's it. It's not just about letting them run wild. It's about being thoughtful about the kinds of play experiences we're providing.
I bet teachers are loving this. But what about the rest of us, the people who aren't raising kids or teaching? How does this apply to us?
That's where it gets super interesting. I mean, sure, these programs were made for kids and teenagers, right? But the core principles, they can apply to, like, any age. Cooperation, empathy, creativity, those are valuable no matter how old you are.
So no matter what we're doing, work, relationships, even just our hobbies, we can all benefit from bringing in a little more cooperative play.
Exactly. It's like a reminder that play isn't just for kids. It's something we can use throughout our lives.
Okay, I love that. So let's talk about something that stood out to me. Professor Garagorda Bill actually won national awards for three of these programs, right? Awards for educational research. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, it shows how important and how innovative her work really is, but it also makes you think, right, play is often overlooked as a tool for learning.
It's like we've forgotten how much we can actually learn through play. We're so focused on academics and tests that we forget that play is essential for, well, for the whole child.
You got it. Garagorda Bill's work is reminding us that we need to, like, reclaim the power of play, not just in school, but in our lives.
So we've established that her research is, like, super important. But how do these programs actually work? What makes them so effective?
The million-dollar question. One key element is, well, it's the focus on cooperation. The kids are always challenged to work together towards a shared goal.
Right. So it's not about winning or losing. It's about working together and succeeding together.
Exactly. And that teaches them teamwork, communication, problem solving, all those things. And they're having fun while doing it, but cooperation isn't the only thing, right? What else is there?
Yeah, what else makes these programs tick?
The other crucial element is the emphasis on creativity. These programs have all sorts of activities that encourage kids to, well, to think differently, to experiment, to express themselves, you know, to think outside the box.
So it's not about strict rules or memorization. It's about encouraging exploration and, like, a genuine love of learning.
Absolutely. And that's essential for developing those problem-solving skills, innovation, and just, you know, a lifelong love of learning.
Okay, so thinking about how these programs actually work, what about the role of adults? Are they just watching or are they actively involved?
You know, Garagorda Bill really stresses the importance of adults being, like, facilitators, guides, you know? Yeah. They offer support, encouragement, and structure, but they also give kids the freedom to explore and figure things out on their own. It's all about finding that balance between guiding them and letting them be independent.
So it's like creating a safe space where kids feel supported, but also empowered to, you know, to learn and grow at their own pace.
That's it. And that balance is so crucial for building intrinsic motivation, like that feeling of ownership over their learning.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, did Garagorda Bill's research address any challenges or limitations, like roadblocks to implementing these programs?
That's a really important question. And yes, while her research shows all these great benefits, she does acknowledge that there can be, well, there can be challenges.
Like what? What are some of the things that might get in the way?
Well, one challenge is making sure that all the kids, you know, have equal opportunities to participate, to contribute. Because in any group, you know, there's always a risk that some kids might, like, dominate while others are more passive or shy.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
How do these programs handle that?
Well, Gerrit Gordeville built in specific strategies to promote inclusivity, to make sure every child feels valued. For example, a lot of the activities involve assigning roles, giving each child a specific responsibility, and that encourages them to actively participate, right?
Yep.
And it stops any one child from, you know, from taking over.
It's like you're creating a structure that ensures everyone gets a chance to shine.
Exactly. But it's also important to remember that to really make these programs work, you need training and support for the adults involved.
So teachers and parents need the skills to really create a supportive and engaging environment for cooperative play.
Absolutely. They need a good understanding of, you know, child development, group dynamics, and, well, how to effectively facilitate this kind of play.
It sounds like it takes a lot of, well, a lot of thought and effort.
It does. But the potential payoff is huge.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive into Professor Gerrit Gordeville's work, I'm struck by, well, by just how much we've covered. From the specifics of these programs to the bigger implications for society as a whole, it's been pretty eye-opening.
I know, right? And we've really only just scratched the surface.
Okay, but before we move on, I want to leave you with a question. Imagine a world where, you know, where these cooperative play programs were everywhere. In schools, communities, families, everywhere. What do you think that would do to our society? How would it change things?
That's a big question, you know? It really makes you think about, like, the possibilities. If we really embrace this idea, cooperative play, not just for kids, but as something that shapes how we live, how we interact.
It's like Professor Gerrit Gordeville is showing us a different way of looking at the world, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, me versus you. It's about us working together.
Exactly. And her research shows us that it's not just some nice idea. It actually works. A cooperative play, it can make a real difference in how we treat each other, how we solve problems, how we create a better future.
It's almost like we've forgotten how powerful play can be. We get so caught up in, like, competition and individual success that we lose sight of the magic of working together.
It's true. But, you know, it's never too late to rediscover that magic.
I love that. Okay, so as we wrap up our deep dive into Professor Gerrit Gordeville's work, I want to leave everyone with a little challenge. What's one small step you can take, you know, today to bring a little more of that cooperative play spirit into your life?
Maybe it's, you know, collaborating with a coworker on a project or just spending some time doing something fun and playful with your family or your friends.
Exactly. Find those opportunities to connect with others, to work together, to create something amazing. And hey, don't forget to have fun along the way.
It's been fantastic exploring this topic with you.
This has been such an inspiring deep dive. Thanks to Professor Gerrit Gordeville for her incredible research. And for reminding us that play isn't just for kids, it's for all of us.
And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep playing, keep learning, and, well, keep those deep dives coming.
Until next time.